Our theme this year is found here in Ecclesiastes. And three cords are not easily broken is another way that verse is stated, the last verse 12. Or a cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. I wanted to, as we talked about that, as I've thought about this for weeks, probably even months. Let's go to the next picture there. We had, in my own mind, was this description of... how many of you have ever ridden the Sky Ride at the State Fair? Raise your hand. Anybody ever been on that thing? When you're riding on the Sky Ride there at the State Fair and you're up there, oh, I don't know, 60 feet in the air, and you're looking down onto the top of the trees, have you ever thought to yourself, wow, what's holding us up here? Yeah. You know, my feet are touching the leaves. It's not a great feeling for me. You know, our family used to run a ski area, and so we had those cable Sky Rides. And it came to my mind right away was the illustration that I wanted to share a little bit with you. In my mind and the way I think, in terms of working together to make something stronger. This is a photograph of a cable, a heavy iron cable, steel cable. And I didn't know until we had a ski lift area. I mean, you're getting a little lesson in ski lifts today. That in the center of this twisted steel, there's a core. There's a core part of that, and that core is very, very important. It kind of keeps the steel from mashing and twisting and wearing itself out. You know, if you have one of these sky lifts or sky rides like that at State Fair or at Adventureland or somewhere, those things have to be inspected every year. And there's a reason for that, of course. You'd kind of like to know that it's not going to fall apart. By the way, the next time you're riding that thing, you take a look and see what's holding that cable up there on top of that pulley. Grace. There's really nothing up there other than the weight of the cable. That's why when we ran the ski lift and the kids thought it was fun to get the things to go jumping up and down, we'd holler and scream at them, don't do that, because it could flop off. Worst case scenario. Every year, that cable has to be inspected. Every 3 years, that cable, the way that these cable chairs were attached, had to be moved because it would weaken the spot. So they had these large hydraulic clamps that would come in and they'd squeeze that cable together, and that which would open it up. And inside that little piece of, there's that little piece of core, you'd go in there and you'd cut that out. And then you go down and you would squeeze the other spot, or actually do that first, and pull out this chairlift device that sits inside of that cable. And you'd put it in the other place. But when you did that, you had to put another little piece of core back in where you took out the other one. And I just got, you know, all this stuff's going on all the time. You don't see it. We don't see it. But I thought about how this is so much like the church in a lot of ways. And the body of Christ. It's always got to be inspected. And I didn't know until we'd had this thing for a while that every year that cable has to be oiled. You have to set up a thing there, and that cable will just run around, around, around for a couple, 3 days while it oils that cable. And I thought, whoa, boy, that sounds like, you know, we got to be inspected. We got to have a core that is solid and intact and sound. And we need the oil. Isn't there a biblical reference to oil somewhere? A little bit of the Holy Spirit. The oil of the Spirit. It's got to be there in order for it to stay healthy and to maintain its strength. Then there's the next way we use that cable. You know, if you take a piece of cable like that and you loop it over and you put some clamps on it to make it stronger, and you can use it as something to tie onto. You don't want that to come apart and you're hooking one tractor onto it against a log or something, you know, and you jerk it and it comes flying apart. Well, the secret to that, of course, is these clamps squeeze together and hold that in place, and they work against each other. It isn't just alone, it's working against each other. As you pull it in together, it gains strength, and it allows you to use it in such a way so that it won't fly apart. Now the next picture is like these little loops. When properly interlaced, this cable or rope, whichever way you want to use, becomes a strong connection, a connection point to add other devices. I just saw all kinds of opportunities for examples there to talk about how you and I must work together in connection with each other, understanding that we need to be inspected. You know, the state of Iowa thinks it's important that we come up and inspect the pool at Camp Quaker Heights several times a year to make sure we're not poisoning everyone to death. And by the way, Chip called me the other day, and he says, "I just wanted to tell you we got the first perfect inspection." Now, that is a yoo-hoo. That is a yoo-hoo. So, but it's just like this. We need to be inspected. You know, we've got the church. It needs to work together. It needs to be held together strongly. And this is a time in our history of America, particularly North America, Western Europe, particularly. I want a couple quotes here, and I don't think you're going to be able to read them from out there, but I've used this quote before. A woman by the name of Elizabeth Kasdan, who's from New England Yearly Meeting, in her master's thesis, which was her second master's, by the way, she already had a law degree, and she wrote, and this is a quote, she was quoting a Marty, also notes that among moderate liberals in the 1930s, the principal stress was on rationality, intellect, and will, especially the right of private judgment and the priesthood of all believers. This profile matches the characteristics of members of unprogrammed Quaker meetings, largely professionals, and those trained in academic disciplines, for whom, as one observer has put it, personal judgment is one of the highest values and submission to any kind of authority offensive. The first time she gave this to me about 9 years ago, and I read her thesis, and I came across a lot of statements in there. She was trying to describe what happened in New England Yearly Meeting in the 1930s. That was the focus of her whole research. And I thought, oh boy, that describes a lot of what's gone on in the church and in our nation as a society. Now, turn the page. Recently, College Avenue Friends has gone through a time of a ministry called The Blessing Point. And the author of the book that is used as the focus, or the whole ministry opportunity came out of, it's called, the title of the book is Healing the Heart of Your Church by Dr. Kenneth Quick. He makes a statement, and he says, in North America particularly, we are immersed in the philosophies and values of individualism. In other words, if it isn't my problem, then it isn't my problem. That thinking, he says, simply doesn't work in a body. I mean, especially when we consider the whole concept of spiritual leadership, which I added in italics. This book has got a lot of rich stuff. In fact, I ordered 50 copies. I'm going to hand them out Friday to all the churches. There's something of value here that we can all learn from. You have this, what I call, let me read this again. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. And we know that to be true. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. You know, just in the whole aging process. We know that to be true. We need somebody there to help us at times. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. You know, there's strength in those numbers that we're talking about here. And a cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. So if we will work together and stand together, we have more strength. And our message is more unified to the world. Amen to your song. Okay? 1 Corinthians 12. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are Christ's body and individually members of it. I didn't read all of 1 Corinthians 12. I didn't put it all up there. But we know what it's saying there. You know, God, there are varieties of gifts, and God gives them out as he sees fit. But they're all meant to work together for the body. You know, and then he goes on to talk about, you know, the eye can't say, well, I don't need you anymore, and the the kidneys, you know, and all those things. We need to work together. So I asked a question, what is our future? What lessons can we learn this week from the past and from Scripture? Where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? We have challenges. Absolutely, we have challenges. When have we ever come here that we didn't have some sort of a challenge? And we have opportunities. We have many opportunities that we are a part of right now. I don't know if you can hear it. I'm going to put your kids on spot a little bit, sitting up there, okay? But the longer Mark sang, and I think this is an International House of Prayer model that you're using, just kind of letting the words flow, the music blend together, and see where the Spirit takes you. Is that correct? Right. And the longer you went at it, the last time we went through it, I heard from the balcony. They were singing out. They heard it. And they liked it. And they were ready to participate. The question sometimes is, do we have the faith to overcome? Do we have the faith? Or do we retreat and hide in fear? Last week, I helped make arrangements for my son-in-law and his pastor from Newton, Iowa, to go to Kenya. And they spoke in Nairobi to a gathering of pastors for 3 days, and then they went on over into Western Province and spoke with, I don't know what school, one of the friends' schools, to a pastor's gathering and spoke there for a few days. And word got out that somehow or another there was some Mzungus or white people there from America that were speaking, and the principal of one of the schools I came to them. John Mahungi was, of course, leading this group, and he came to these pastors and to John and said, "Something terrible is happening in our church, our school. Our school has been known as the number one school in this region and in this district. And our grades are suddenly plummeting. Everything seems to be going negative." And the principal says, "I don't know what to do. I'm at my end." He says, "I have a strange feeling that something's going on with Satan worship." And he said, he didn't know what to do. Wanted to know if these guys could come. Well, Pastor Jim Sears has been in counseling for years as a pastoral counselor. And they asked him to come and speak. Now, it's a school of 1,250 kids. And Jim, Pastor Jim, I felt like he asked the question. How many of you here are filled with fear? And every kid in the room raised their hand. And so he spoke just simply on fear, overcoming fear. The result of that, as has been told to me by my son-in-law, is that 300 kids came to know Christ. And there was a group worshiping Satan in the room, in the building. They were doing things after dark when other people had gone to bed. They were acting like animals. They were running through this, you know, through the grass and stuff like that, you know. And you say, "Oh, that couldn't happen." Well, it was. And it can happen anywhere when people, you know. For several years at LeGrand, I spoke to the senior class of sociology. And every year that I went in there to speak, every year I was asked by senior high students what I believed about Satan, about witchcraft, whether Satan was real or whatever. Every single year, that was one of the questions they asked. So don't pretend to think that it's not around us as well, that it's only somewhere else. Well, do we retreat and hide in fear? No. I know what Jim was preaching about. We're filled with Christ. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We know that, so we need to live that way. Can we trust God? That's the real big question that comes out. Do we trust God to help us, to lead us, to guide us? We can work together, and when we work together, things can happen. Next picture. You remember this? How many of you were there? You remember when the hail and the wind and everything came through? How many of you were there? Put your hand up. Lots of you came, and what happened? 24 hours. I don't know how many, a couple hundred people were there. cleaned that whole place up. I put that in there because it demonstrates when a lot of people get together, things can happen and they can happen very quickly. That's working together. Now the next picture. This is in Uganda. This was there when the Friends United Meeting General Board went over and had a meeting. What's kind of unique about this picture is it's in Uganda. It's the first time, I'm sure, a whole busload from America had ever traveled to this site. But this is the school/church building that the Kenyan members of the Friends Church had traveled to Uganda and brought a piece of steel with them, and they brought it and they carried it into Uganda and they built this building, and they were very, very, very happy to begin to work together. Hundreds of people come out to see us. Next picture. Who's this? John Maru. The guy that's working under the hood, now Lloyd Stangler, I think, has left for the day, but Lloyd Stangler and I were sitting, well, I obviously, one of us was taking the picture. We were in Turkana. You know, it's 110 every day, right? Kind of like here. And we were, I don't know, 35, 40 kilometers out in there, and the fan belt broke. Well, what do you do? I mean, if you don't have the fan blade, you know, running, you're going to overheat and you're going to seize the engine. Everything bad's going to happen. I guess I throw that in here is because he had a used belt in the trunk, in the back end, and he had some wrenches, and we stood on the side and encouraged him while he put a used belt on there and put that thing back together, and we continued and finished the trip that day, working together. And it comes in all different forms. Let's do another one. What's this picture of? What happened in 2008 in Kenya? Okay. We have the election. The problems that came after the election, the violence and stuff, and people were displaced, and some of them had to go in different places. Well, when the Friends and the USFW in the United States and everybody got together, and they sent tens of thousands of dollars over there, and they were able to buy the food, and then they loaded it in lorries, and they took it and they delivered it, and people gathered to receive the food. And many, many people had food. I mean, I don't know, it's like $80,000 was raised in a matter of a few days, which buys a lot of rice. So when people get together and work together and think together, things can happen. Let's do another one. Oh, this one's a little dark. Where's this at? This is a picture of the teen camp at Meskwaki. This was 2 years ago when they had their teen camp every summer. This is all the gathering of the people that are there. And there were young people there from Wisconsin and from Canada, and from Oklahoma and Iowa, working together. Well, it's all part of Iowa Yearly Meeting. I didn't read one of the quotes that I had in my advance report because I just want to underscore to us tonight how very, very important it is that we work together. Camp Quaker Heights is not an entity by itself. Meskwaki is not an entity by itself. Iowa Yearly Meeting is not an entity by itself. We're all part of something, and that something is Christ. And we're supposed to be working together, and in that unity, things will happen. In those days, you know, the contrast to that is in those days, there were no kings in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own sight. That's Judges 21:25. We know what happened in the history of Israel, because when everybody started doing their own thing, they were complaining, actually. This is the end of Judges. They were whining, we need a judge, or we need a king. Everybody else has got a king. Why can't we have a king? We need a king. And God had told the prophet, he said, I can give you a king, but the first thing they're going to do is count up all the men and form an army. Yeah, well, we need a king. So they formed an army, and it happened over and over again. They would turn back to God. They would call up a judge and say, please help us get back to God. And then everybody would say, we don't need God anymore. We can do everything the way we want to do it. And lo and behold, the cycle went over and over again. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. John 17. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. That flowed out of the song a little bit ago. So that the world may believe that you sent me. We need to have a unified message to the world. And it starts right here. It starts on every one of our own local churches. I do not ask on behalf of those alone, but for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. Even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. God the Father, God the Son, and us. We need to understand that this was the high priestly prayer of Jesus. You know, just before he's taken out and given up, you know, so that he is going to be crucified. His prayer was for us, that the church would know who he is and that we would work together. And because in this togetherness, they will know that we are friends and that we will have a unified voice to give to the world. Now, these last words are mine. God has ordained the church. It is his church. He gives the gifts that cause ministry to grow or be fruitful. We are all called to be obedient and humble in our service to God's kingdom while here on earth. While here on earth. Not just from age 23 to 38, but all the time we're here on earth. All of this faith and works is in preparation for eternity. Why does the Bible tell us that God is holy and calls his followers to be holy? Where is eternity? When does eternity start? He clearly states that he will never leave us, and he will not fail to equip us to finish the task that he has set before us. The uncertainty seems to lie in the area of whether or not we believe his words. Believe that his words are true, or whether or not we have experienced the living presence of Christ within. We need the strength that is found in fellowships of like-minded people, the relationships that holds us accountable to God and to his word. When we go it alone, we are so much more apt to fall or to go off course. I think we're being given many opportunities as a yearly meeting. The question is, do we have the internal fortitude to follow, to grow, to be excited about what he is doing? What is God doing, and how do we get on board with him? That is the question that comes in many forms and in many fashions, yet it remains the same. What is God doing? And how can we be on board with him? The yearly meeting sessions of 2012 have me excited. I've been looking forward to this time very much, because I think God is speaking many different ways, different levels, through different people. I hope all who come will be excited and be eager to share the joy when they return to their local meetings and homes. I wrote this several days ago. Your staff is here to serve God and to serve you. Please take time to speak a word of encouragement to all of them. And with us all working together, we have a bright future before us. I believe that. I just hope that we go into tomorrow and Friday in the sense of anticipation, because we have some exciting things that are going to be shared with us. For our speakers, our workshops. You need to know Mary has worked pretty hard this year to make sure our workshops are going home with what she's been telling everybody, toolkits. Something to take home with you that you can use in your own church. There's a group working on 150th anniversary. There's all kinds of things happening. And then, of course, Friday morning, we're going to have a discussion that talks about new ministries and missions and outreach. So I hope we'll enter into that time prayerfully. I'm done. Ken says, yes. Let's just pause a moment. Go back to that picture of all the Ugandans. Let's have open worship.